Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah!
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Goal!
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Full Court Press, all things NBA. I'm your most of the time host, Wesley. With me, as always, Rabbit and the Bagman. How's it going, guys?
Hey, Wes. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Great hearing your voice.
Bagman, how are you? Are you there?
Yeah, I think I'm here. I'm in the studio. I sounded so much crisper and cleaner than both you motherfuckers.
Josh is at a Full Court Press headquarters, and both Rabin and I are off-site. So basically we're going to be talking all things semifinals. We got a little bit of a douche of the playoffs so far, and then we're going to get knee-deep, shoulder-deep into the Western Conference Finals. But first, I think Bagman's going to plug some stuff for us.
Yeah, if you're anyone who's listening, his name isn't Wes, you probably know that we've got Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. All you have to do is search at FCP Podcast and you get all the stuff. Give us a shout, give us some hate, give us some love. Just be with us.
And iTunes, Apple subscriptions. Rabbit, you're pretty excited about those things, right?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, where the future was.
All right, so... how was your semifinals experience this year, Rabbit?
It was pretty surprising, to be honest. I think we're all surprised about the Clips Rockets. I don't think anyone's surprised the Cavs got in the East, got through, and Atlanta, Washington, you know, that was sort of pretty crazy. But yeah, Warriors, you know, bit of a speed bump with Memphis, no problem. But yeah, man, I think the talk of the town is Clips Rockets.
Bagman, would you say that was probably the most confusing series so far? I mean, what did you take out of it? What did you like from it?
If anyone had told me that the Clippers were going to lose a game at home up like 20 points from Josh Smith's shooting step back threes, I would have killed myself. But it happened. We bore witness to it. I didn't predict. I thought it was over after game four. They were just smashing them. Austin Rivers was being, you know, ridiculous and effective. And Houston just looked totally beaten. Didn't you think they just looked like they'd totally checked out?
I definitely did the first three games. It looked like they didn't even kind of care. There was no, like, fight or anger. You know, big baby in the corner screaming, losing his mind. They didn't really look like they were too excited to even be at the playoffs is the vibe I got. I don't know. It was very strange.
They were dead men walking. At the end of that third quarter, excuse me, of game six, and then they turned it around. Houston came back and won that fourth quarter 40-15. 40-15.
Yeah, and
when
it was
they needed it most.
Like Chris Paul hit a three right at the end of regulation as well. That didn't mean shit. It was really like a 40-12 quarter.
The most crazy story is the redemption of Josh Smith. He's like a factor in this Golden State series. He's going to be a factor. He was a huge factor in the comeback. It's crazy. And every person in the NBA, including us, were writing him off when he got, like, you know, marched out of Detroit. I think it's great.
What about all the Blake Griffin just blowing up in the third quarter and then just getting exhausted? Do you think that's a result, JB, of, you know, seven games with the Spurs and just kind of going a little too hard, or maybe a lack of playoff experience? Or for me personally, I saw a tired Blake Griffin fourth quarters, at least three games, the last couple of games. What do you think?
Yeah, there's no doubt that that he wore down. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, like guarding Tim Duncan and sort of trying to keep up with the Spurs and their small ball shit over seven games would take it out of you. But it's depth. It's depth as well. You only have really big baby spotting you. He had a lot of the offensive load Griffin did in the first games that CP didn't play. He was basically playing point guard. And the Rockets are super deep at the big positions. They've got Jones and Smith and Capella all coming in, giving you solid minutes and giving him different looks and, you know, different sized bodies to throw at him. So
you don't think it's like a lack of experience or...
Nah, he's like,
anything like that?
He's traditionally been like really good in the playoffs, and he was a fucking monster for the first half of that series. for the first
no
half
one should
of every
be dissing Blake Griffin or Chris Paul in this series.
Even though it is something that we religiously do.
He was just amazing, like, these playoffs. And Chris Paul was amazing as well. If you're going to diss anyone, and it's Doc, but you don't diss the coach Doc, you diss GM Doc.
Because what about the father Doc?
Well, possibly, but their bench got exposed, and it was kind of after fooling all of us for three games or so with Houston, you know, and everyone's like, oh, Austin Rivers, and, you know, fair enough, but that was a bit of a, you know, just a one-off, yep. I think, because Big Baby, Turkoglu, and Austin Rivers, no matter what, can't replace Houston's bench, can't keep up with Houston's bench, and can't do what Blake Griffin and Chris Paul were doing.
Yeah, but so
blame the GM.
Turkoglu was GM. Wasn't Turkoglu brought into it because Spencer Hawes just wasn't working in the system?
No, he played Spencer Hawes in the last six, in games six and seven. He got minutes, and he was pretty ordinary. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's right, I think, that is the element that let them down. And Griffin was gassed. He was fucked. And in the paint in that last game six, in game seven, he was just throwing up really tired, tough shots. And credit Dwight Howard because he manned up and he beasted Griffin in the end. But Griffin was fired and he shouldn't be asked to play like 43 minutes. And that's 14 games in what, 2 weeks? Probably 43 minutes or something. Like, what more do you want from him? I felt pretty bad for him. And I think the Clippers either have to add some depth or they have to blow it up. But they can't just go doing this again.
You know what else?
I don't think they should blow it up, by the way.
You know what else it is, too, though, that just playing Big Baby, at least with Spencer Hawes, they're giving you a different look offensively. They're giving you another threat, even if he's not really, like, knocking down shots or doing what you need. At least you're giving him a different look, making him change their lineup. With Big Baby, he's always just a placeholder. You don't really give a fuck what he does offensively, whether he's crashing the boards. He's not a big threat there. Shooting jumpers, he's not a big threat. Diving to the hoop. You saw that play at the end of the game where Blake Griffin thought it was DeAndre and threw up something, and then it turned out being a turnover. Oh, I think they made a basket in the end, but whatever. It was fucking
so
wrong.
Funny.
Yeah, so like that just gives you an idea that like you can basically play 4-on-5 on defense when Big Baby's in the game. They don't care. But at least with Hawes, you're like making him stretch out to the perimeter. But I think Doc underused him. I reckon you would at least sort of trot him out and try and give Griffin a little bit of space and a little bit of rest.
Still a meltdown. You know, like we can say, oh, you know, their bench, blah, blah, blah. But they were 3-1 up and up by 19 with a quarter left. That's still a choke in anyone's book. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where Houston got hot at kind of the most perfect time they could ever all season, and the Clippers got tight at the worst possible time. Almost like a perfect storm, because otherwise that series is over. And maybe they run out of puff against Golden State and it's a bloodbath, but they should have won that series.
Well, just to kind of take a step back from the play of the game, I'd like to focus, Rabbit, on one thing that happened after, I think it was game one, between Matt Barnes and James Harden. Oh, you want to break that down for us?
So good. Well, it's all allegedly, Wes. You know, it's all very he said, she said. And basically, Barnes was getting heckled on the court after a play. I think he chopped Harden or something happened, and an elderly woman in the crowd heckled at Barnes and said, "You suck," or something like that. And, you know, he indicated that he'd like her to suck his cock. And and then from there, you know, I don't think he realized it was James Harden's mum till after the game. I'm pretty sure DeAndre pointed it out to him and said, you know, that was James's mum. He's like, oh no. Didn't his brother have words with him? Harden's brother? Called him out and said to apologize on the court or something. I'm not sure.
Bag.
Yeah, that absolutely happened. That's what I heard. That his bro
shouldn't be a fist fight. Shouldn't he just squared up to him on the court? Wouldn't that be epic? Barnes out of the game. That's almost like you're a sixth man. You know, you're in the fan, you're in the crowd. You're Harden's brother. You call him out. You get in a scuffle. He gets ejected. You know, not bad. Yeah. And he was totally justified because he told your mum to suck his cock. Amazing.
I reckon if you Barnes, like, if you're going to commit to it, I wouldn't have backed down if I was him. If he was like, oh, yeah, that's James Harden's mom, I would have done the James Harden, like, you know, I'm stirring something up, like, right in front of my dick and balls and just going, I'm cooking up some semen, bitch, come get it, whatever. You just got to get rid of Ron with it.
The funniest thing is, wasn't it the day before Mother's Day or something?
Probably. Yeah. It's Matt Barnes. He's perfect. Matt Barnes is perfect.
Before we move off the Wizards, unless any of you guys else have one more point, there is just one more thing I wanted to say, and that's about Dwight Howard. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's actually about the Rockets, sorry. I just thought, compared to how, obviously he didn't play a lot of games during the regular season, but physically, you know, his spring, his jump, how active he was on the boards, blocking shots, it was a fucking joy to watch DeAndre go against Howard. And, you know, who got the better of each other is, you know, I think a personal thing. But Howard looks like he's back physically. I mean, obviously, game one, Josh Smith fell on him in the Golden State game yesterday. But I was really happy. I don't know how you guys felt, but I was really excited to see that guy that, you know, fucking double tapped it off the backboard in the slam dunk comp, kind of look like his old self.
He did. He did indeed. And swatting each other's shots, Howard and DeAndre, was like
so good.
Pretty cool to see. I mean, the free throws obviously were a bit painful, but yeah, you're right. Howard looked kind of very sprightly and almost back to full health.
Bag, did you have anything else about the Clippers that you wanted to say real quickly?
Just eat shit, basically. I think that's the main thing. It was a weird feeling because I don't know. I was wanted to ask.
We all watched Game 7 together.
We did, except for... Oh, no, we all watched Game 7 together, didn't we?
Yeah.
I wanted
How
to...
dare you forget that?
Oh, yeah, I know. I was so baked, though, so you know, it was a good time.
Well, that's when I ordered the feta pizza, apparently, that fucking turned into an liquid, abortion pizza.
Liquid pizza. But it was like, it was a weird feeling going for the Clippers, because I hate the Clippers, but I really wanted 7 games of Golden State and
versus
LA.
The Clippers.
Rabbit, are you Devo that it hasn't shaken out like that, or are you kind of stoked to avoid him?
Personally, I'm happy to see runner-up MVP go against MVP. But I think I was going for the Clippers as well, personally. It was kind of a sad feeling. Not as sad as when the Spurs didn't make it through, but it felt like the team that beat the Spurs should make it through to the final Western Conference final, to me personally.
Typical of the Clippers, you know, after they had that, like, almost majestic Game 7 win in San Antonio, against San Antonio, you're like, wow, they beat them, and yeah, cool. And then they just turn around and do the, like, oh, they're 3-1 up? Oh, wow. And they choke, you know, it's kind of like polar opposites. Like, oh, that's right.
Totally.
You know, they reminded us again. So I feel sorry for them. I don't know if there's, like, the Curse of the Bambino kind of vibe going on there or what, but it's kind of sad a little bit because they try so hard.
Yeah, we were just done saying that everyone was like going to get off Chris Paul's case forever because he was such a beast in the Clippers Spurs series.
Yep.
And now, you know, it's like 2 weeks later and it's all over. But like he says,
it's not his fault.
It was when they were down in game 7, you were looking at Crawford and Redick and Barnes and going, at least one of these guys has to start hitting shots. And none of them did.
No one did.
I love the idea for the Clippers of JJ Redick becoming their sixth man again. Filling that spot with somebody more like a Trevor Ariza that's a hardcore defender, you know, tall, you know, can handle all the switches. And having not an ISO fucking glory, you know, guy who's kind of past his prime, you know, coming off the bench as your savior to kind of mix up the offense.
Can we stop talking about the Clippers?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the Washington Wizards series versus the Atlanta Hawks. John Wall falling down, 5 fractures. Paul Pierce beasting it up. Let's break it down. Everyone thought it was going to be a shit series, but it ended up being a bit fun, right?
You know what I enjoyed? I enjoyed, did you call bank? No, I called game.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of all time.
Yeah,
that was in regards to Paul Pierce hitting the game winner.
Note to Derrick Rose, that's how you claim a bank shot. That's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Can I ask a question? This is to both of you, but maybe to Wes more.
Right.
Do we have to rename our Dish of the Year?
Oh, it's definitely not the Paul Pierce Award anymore.
Yeah, well, that
could be the Barnesy Award, Matt Barnes, or the Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, okay.
The Olynyk, the Canadian Olynyk Award, or
well, I don't think he's a douchebag, but anyway.
All right.
That was a highlight. I mean, he didn't do that much, but kind of like everything he hit was when he needed to, so it was kind of vintage clutch Paul Pierce, which was cool.
Yeah. What do you feel, Dag, what do you feel about that last shot that didn't count? They counted it on the, you know, Paul Pierce's last shot that was 0.1 of a second still in his hand to force the overtime.
I'm heartbroken yeah. because, you know, he got robbed in the previous game with the Al Horford offensive rebound after he hit a huge shot, boxed the fuck out, Nene. What's up with that?
Yeah, totally.
And then that as well. So it was like two amazing, you know, big testicle shots. And if they had gone out and lost in overtime in that fashion, I think that would have been cooler. But, you know, it's possibly the last we see of him. And if that's the way he goes out, hitting a huge shot like that and just having it waved off like it didn't even count, I thought it was heartbreaking, man. I was devastated for him, and I never thought I'd say those words about Paul Pierce.
Man, what about the Schroeder-Paul Pierce kind of banter back and forth when Schroeder called his shot a lucky shot?
Well, it's reminiscent of Vlade Divac and Robert Horry. Back in the early 2000s. His lucky shot. His lucky shot. It's not skills. But, so, I don't know. You can't...
Throw it up.
You can't...
He's been in the league for like 3 years. Who cares what the fuck he has to say?
You can't say that about either of those guys, Pierce or Horry, when they've got a history of hitting huge baskets. It's not a fluke, man. It's a skill for sure. It's retarded.
Yeah, absolutely. Rabbit Gortat said, quote, "I love Nene, but I'd love to play with a stretch four." LaMarcus Aldridge, what do you think about that? Like,
well, I think that he might be alluring to the fact that that's a reason to fuck Nene off, because he was woeful the whole series. Couldn't rebound, couldn't jump, a couple of finishes here and there. He was pretty useless out there. So I agree to a point where he says they need a stretch four, but isn't that what Paul Pierce is? Isn't he, that's what's going on? So if he's alluring to the fact that Pierce might be retiring and he's like, well, get me a proper stretch four, and get rid of Nene, I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, but you can't.
Nene was pretty average.
You couldn't play Gortat and Nene together. Gortat and Pierce together for huge stretches. You wouldn't want that for like 35 minutes a night. Plus, you need someone that can play.
They broke out in the series, and obviously they had success with it. I think he's like, get me a. Yeah, he's probably saying, get me a healthy young stretch four.
I told you, man.
LaMarcus isn't going there.
K-Love. I'm telling you. K-Love would be fucking sensational there.
Sense. It'd
be perfect for them.
Yeah. What about in general, though, the series in general? What are your thoughts from it?
I wish the Wizards won it. Atlanta are cool. Paul Millsap doesn't seem to be playing, like, you know, all-star material as much in the playoffs. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Horford's a beast. He's just super consistent. And, you know, you put up a post the other day, Bagman, that said Josh Smith is shooting a better percentage than Kyle Korver.
That's unbelievable.
What the fuck? You know?
Unbelievable.
So I guess look out for the Wizards for a stretch four. Atlanta made it through, and they're playing the Cavs tonight, game one, which has already happened, and we're all dying to watch. I think, Rabbit, you already started it. Fuck you. So does anyone else have anything they want to mention about that series really quickly?
No.
What do you think about John Wall's suit, Rabbit?
Oh, shit.
Oh, of course.
Talk about it.
Oh, he gets a pass, I reckon. I mean,
so,
9 out of 10.
Can you break down what suit we're talking about?
He was wearing a plaid suit, a plaid blazer.
For the game he missed when he was injured, right?
Yeah, and, you know, he got a lot of press, and it was pretty questionable. But I think, and, you know, I got... My NBA man crush is still John Wall, and he gets a pass. 9 out of 10 times, he's killing it. 9 out of 10, he kills. So he gets a pass.
And what if Gortat was wearing the same suit?
He'd be banished. Banished, I say. Yeah.
So basically, if you're handsome, you can wear whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
I still, Westbrook, he just won an award. They were showing it on Apple TV, the community award, and he was wearing the weirdest outfit, man. I was like, God, you're weird.
Yeah,
is Westbrook handsome?
Yeah, he looked like the dude from In Coming to America. You know, the rich, fucking affluent black dude. So
with, like, weird.
Weird
shoulder pads and, like, that early 90s silk, you know, and everything had to kind of, like, flowy silk shirt.
Yeah, he's forcing you to look towards his dick as well. It, like, all his clothes seem to just, like, taper right towards his dick area. And you see, he's just forcing you to look at it. Sorry, the Colonel.
He's an anomaly. He's an anomaly.
All right, let's move on to the Chicago Bulls versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we had no Kevin Love due to a dislocated shoulder. We had a 75%, 70% Kyrie Irving versus basically a healthy Bulls until Gasol got injured. And the Bulls couldn't figure it out. And I'm going to just start off by saying, and I said this to you earlier in the week, Bag, that did not look like the Chicago Bulls that I've seen for the last 3 years. With or without Rose, there was something just not there. And all the front office gossip and all the fucking talks, it's hard not to speculate. It's hard not to think there's something going on between the coach and you'll get fired and blah, 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 blah. Rose played fine. Butler played great. But from what I can gather from a lot of my Bulls fans that were just so pumped on Noah for the last 2 years, I had one friend go, well, I think it's time to trade Noah. And it's just like, I don't know where they're at. I don't know what the fuck's going on over there, but what a complete abortion of a series for them. Well, what did you think of it, Bagman?
Well, like, I hate that people were giving crap to Noah about the series that he had. All he's done last year, especially, was play like fucking 80 minutes a night. Every possession, he was basically facilitating everything from the high post, working super hard. He was in the MVP balloting last year.
He was
a monster. And they've just run him into the ground. And the poor bastard, he's out there just like gutting it out, doing his thing. Everyone's falling apart around him. And it wasn't really his fault. And also when Derrick Rose comes back, they just changed their whole offense. And I think especially when Rose and Butler are playing together, that all that beautiful high-passed, high-low passing that we saw at the start of the season and even last year just disappeared. And it's this whole rhetoric that in the playoffs, it's a different situation and everything slows down. But just look at what happened the back end of those last two games. Just standing around watching the guards try and take awful shots. They couldn't even muster up 90 points a game against like half a Cleveland team. Super sad. So, you know, maybe they're right. It's time to trade Noel, but I'd be looking at different places. And I think you got to reward the service that he's put in over the last couple of years and try and work another team around that will be able to benefit from the skills that he gives you.
Do you think Gasol's going to stay?
I would hope so, because if it's anything like, I know we spoke about this before too, in December, the first month of the season, the passing between the big men and Gasol is fitting right in. His mid-range jumper is money. I just feel like that skill set with Noah, that's something that you can really run with a long way. And they just went away from a style that was working for them at the start of the year. So I would hope so. I think, you know, the fact that Gasol had the best season he's had in a few years wasn't by accident.
Rabbit, you think they're going to pay Butler or do you think he's going to go somewhere and collect?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, because it is Chicago's front office who are notorious for undermining and sandbagging their players. But just back to what we were saying about the Bulls in terms of the Rose Butler thing and
the offense.
You know, there were stretches, just the offense in general. There were stretches there where Chicago couldn't score for like 10 minutes. You know, I remember seeing, you know, like miss their last 12 field goal attempts, you know, and you'd think that by this stage they'd have the offense worked out where they can dump it somewhere or run a pet play where they're like, just go get a bucket, just get some points. Let's just, you know, stop the bleeding as such. But Rose isn't a point guard, like a point guard that would complement Butler. You know what I mean? Their shots are the same. They're going for the same shots a lot of the time. Like, they're both not spot-up, knockdown jump shooters.
I don't know what you think about that, Bagman, but I disagree a little bit. The moments that I saw them explode to the ring, they were lightning. And I thought they actually kind of worked really well together. Like, you know, fast breaks especially, lots of great passing, you know, finishing at the basket. What do you think, Bag?
Yeah, I sort of agree with Rabbit. I think the best basketball they played during the season was when one of them wasn't there.
Yeah.
It forces everyone else to sort of do a little bit more. And you had Mirotić involved, and there was a little bit more unpredictability about it. And that's always been the knock on these Rose-centric Bulls teams, is that they do get in the habit of standing around and hoping that Derek will make something happen for them. But in the past, you know, it's been much more of that like lightning ball movement and shit like that, which you just didn't see.
Now, a team like the Chicago Bulls that's notorious for defense, you know, everyone was saying what a fantastic job Butler did on LeBron, who without a doubt is the best player in the NBA right now after watching that series. But I noticed one thing, which also the Golden State did a lot, which is would not double team. They left Butler to go one-on-one, and only when he'd get really close to the ring would they double team. There wasn't a lot of double teaming, and with no Love and not heaps of shooting and basically turning Kyrie into just a spot-up shooter and not able to attack the rim, I felt like they should have doubled LeBron a little bit more and just forced everyone else to play better.
Yeah, you make a good point. I'm down with that. I mean, you didn't have anyone who was good. Like, Tristan Thompson needs to roll to the ring or get his boards. Mozgov has gotten better at that mid-range jumper. But that said, JR was a factor.
And Shumpert played great as well.
And Shumpert played big. So there was a lot of talk when Love went out, like how they're going to, you know, handle it, where's their depth. But to be honest, the role players for Cleveland have come up pretty big. And that's probably what got them past Chicago. Unbalanced, that's all. Yeah. They looked unbalanced at times.
And speaking of role players, Dele Dele, the Aussie White Hope. What do you think of that? Is he going to get paid next year, Bagman?
He's not at like a Patty Mills type level yet. Like every Australia, I'm a big...
I love nothing more than when you break down how much people are going to get paid, and then you compare it to other shit players. We were doing that when you were talking about Jeremy Lin and Dragic, and it's like he's not at the 15 million, more at the 12. I love it so much.
Yeah, see, Chandler Parsons is my new whipping boy. Yeah, anyone who sniffs anything near Chandler Parsons is getting a mention.
All right.
but yeah, no, I think it's fucking awesome for Dele. He had a great game. It shows, you know, that he's found his little niche. He's knocking down open threes now, and he's been a fucking pest. It's perfect. Mm. He's built for it. But yeah, keep your expectations in check. He still doesn't have that. He didn't even score 20 points. Everyone's losing their fucking mind. You know, Patty Mills has had explosive games like that. He's like a $4 million a year type of player. And I think if you like ask the league, they'd probably rather have a Patty Mills type person who can come and change a game anytime you put him in than Dele. But props to the Aussie. It's fucking great.
Do we need to discuss the onslaught powerhouse brilliance that is LeBron James? Rabbit, you want to say anything or Bag?
Oh, I think everyone just forgot that he played for Cleveland and, you know, Kevin Love when he's going down. I mean, I said it a while ago that we haven't really seen LeBron be LeBron. And, I mean, he was LeBron again in those games, and it was pretty incredible to watch. But I forgot that game winner as well.
Yeah, but he only really had two strong games.
When they needed him, though.
Yeah, even in game two when he erupted, he still didn't shoot 50%, and he was heroing a lot, didn't really trust
his teammates.
Well,
that's why they're saying Butler kept him to that level. You know, they kept him under 50%. Under 30 points and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I think he's amazing.
And do you think Tibbs is going to stay?
Well, I don't think we can say whether we think, but would you get rid of him if you were the owner of the Bulls, Rabbit?
No.
No. You like it?
I just think that they should learn their lesson from the 90s. The front office broke up a really good team, and they've worked really well to put this structure in place. You've got some core guys who have been there a while. They've never really had everyone being healthy. They've been decimated by injuries.
Still had huge injury problems this year.
You know, like, just pay him. Stop fucking around with the program.
Fucking knees cut out this year.
Yeah,
came
he's
back
a top 10 coach. He's got people who respect him all over the league. Chill out on the starters' minutes a little bit and maybe get a little bit more advice for a new offense or something. Work out the dynamic between Rose and Butler, and then you're right there.
You pay Butler and you just deal with the fact Rose's game is a little different.
You pay all of them. You pay Tibbs, you pay Butler, you pay all of them, and you keep the team together. I mean, what's the point of blowing it up again? To what?
Well, to save money, because it's...
The salary cap is about to fucking go so massive. I think you keep your nucleus in place and you push. They were right there. They only need a few lucky breaks, and they could have been in the conference final.
I'd get a new coach, I think. Purely like, it's weird to say because he's clearly like in the top tier of coaches in the whole league. There's no question about that. But there's this fatigue that happens when you're a taskmaster like that. And I think just the organization could use a little bit of fresh life.
Well, Popovich?
I reckon, let's go Van Gundy. Bring him back.
Yeah, bring Van Gundy back.
Please.
Hey, the taskmaster. Hey, like Popovich is a taskmaster.
Yeah, Popovich also rests his starters in the season as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Rest your starters.
But he doesn't
out on the minute.
He doesn't fly like that, though.
That.
He doesn't fly like that. He doesn't do it. He won't. I don't see anyway. That's the reason why. That's his only downfall is that he pushes everyone so fucking hard, and they're just done by the end of the season.
And you think that's the drama with the front office, that they're saying, "Hey, chill out on the minutes," and he's not listening?
Well, look at the injury reports. It's just it doesn't stop.
They're the ones paying Derrick Rose to sit on the sidelines in a fucking suit and some acne for the whole season.
I don't know, man. I just think they've got a good thing there. You know, you don't see this kind of chemistry come around too often. That defense with Gibson and Noah, and now you added Gasol. You've got Butler and Rose there. Like, good pieces, you know? Like, and then you get a new coach. Maybe he's got some new ideas and stuff, but that's probably still going to be a season or two.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I could be wrong, but I'd keep him.
I understand what you're saying, Bag, and like being the coach and that it starts to wear away both at you and with the head office. But I mean, if you take away Gasol, they're still quite a young team, right? And if you're making the semis, I keep it. I keep it together. Keep it together. Keep it together. Keep it together.
I think you keep the team together. Of course, it's wonderful. Dougie Mack might come on. They need another shooter. They could probably use a bit of youth in the Dunleavy spot. Someone with a bit more athleticism who can guard a guy like LeBron for 10 to 15 minute stretches in a game. They don't have that, and as a result, that guy's getting worn down. And you're not getting the return on investment. You could have said the same thing about Scotty Brooks. They went to the fucking finals.
Do you think, here's a little conspiracy rumor bullshit, but do you think D. Rose and Butler are mates?
I don't see why not. I don't see why they wouldn't be. I don't know.
Derrick Rose's only mate is the gym. That's the only person he hangs out with.
I thought it was his brothers. All right, well, can I move us on to the next topic?
Sure.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, it's time for douche of the playoffs so far. Dun, 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 dun. Who wants to start? I don't want to start.
I'll start.
What do you got for me, baby?
It's my boy, not my boy, it's the Jet talking shit to my boy, Steph Curry.
that's a late douche.
Well, I was, you know, I had...
You're going with yesterday's game.
I am. I had a few things going on, but I remember watching it, and he hit like some, you know, meaningless...
He hit a gross two-pointer after he missed like four threes.
Yep. And then he's like getting his face, and you know, I understand maybe you're trying to get Curry, get yourself going or something, but not to Steph Curry. And he's still jerking himself off while he runs around a bogut pick and can't get through, snoozes, tries to go over it, and leaves Curry wide open. Like, sick claim, sick D-Jet, such a dick. And that just epitomizes how he's on the court. So that's kind of like a career hate douchebag thing because I never liked Curry. But he just reminded me again yesterday, so he's mine.
All right, and the bag?
My douche is Hack the Universe or fucking Hacker Howard, Hacker Jordan.
Hack the Universe.
Hacker Pella, which actually kind of works as a nickname.
Howard, Hacker Smith, Hacker DeAndre.
I did a massive rant about it.
Hacker Brewer one.
One Hacker Brewer, it happened last night. But, you know, I did a massive rant on their Facebook if anyone wants to get my full opinion on it. But the long and short of it is why free throws exist because it's a deterrent to foul. The whole idea is for the game to have as few fouls as possible. So I think it's really basic just to fuck it off completely. Will you really miss you like, you know, 5 years from now if they eliminate it going, oh, remember those series with Dwight Howard and DeAndre shooting all those free throws? That's basketball. No fucking way. Let's get rid of it.
Totally.
What's really funny, just on a little tangent, I was listening to a podcast ages ago with Kimmel and Simmons and House, and they were like, you didn't come to the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, you went to game 7 of Spurs Clippers, what the fuck, and they were giving him shit about it, and he's like, hey, this was like the best series, the best game 7 in a long time of the first round, and then Kim was like, yeah, sure, and then, you know, people are going to say like, oh yeah, remember when the Clippers got through and then lost in the next round, and no one gives a fuck about that game 7?
He's right.
Yeah, and he was right.
That's hilarious.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, that was great.
Mine, I feel what you're saying. I was going to ask you, Bagman, what did you think about the Rockets coach's suggestion that you turn the rule into you can't do the hack-a-shack within the first 15 seconds of the game? So you at least give the offense an opportunity to attack the basket and score before the foul is given.
Like the clock?
You mean the first 15 of the shot clock?
Yeah.
I think it's just overly complicated. Just like, if you just make it one shot in the ball, if you do it, and then no one will do it. It doesn't matter, like, if you get 10 seconds to preempt it, just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Did you hear what they were saying? I think it was Van Gundy or maybe it was Mark Jackson last night when they were doing the hack. They're like, it's a rule, so it should happen, but if it should happen, it should happen all through the game, not be allowed in the last 2 minutes.
But, yeah, well, they think it's so shit in the last 2 minutes, but you don't think it's shit in the other 46?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? What the fuck is that?
All right, well, my douche is J.R. Smith. What? I was going to go for a Linux, but I just think just doing a cheap foul to show that nobody takes a shot at your team or whatever, but to jeopardize your team for two games.
He's lucky.
I just didn't think that was the smartest way to do it.
It's lucky to get two games.
I don't know what you guys think.
He deserved more than two games. It's basically it's a punch in the face.
He got expelled for the whole series. I mean, how does that really? I mean, after 90 game, whatever 90 regular season games, I just think that was like a Robert Parrish Lambeer fucking hit. You know, that was like no look fucking fist to the face.
We sucker punched him in the face. If he was facing the other way, he would have got suspended for the whole playoffs.
Yeah, but it's not even a punch, dude. It's like a back arm swing. Like, that's harder than a punch.
Hey, JB,
you
remember when years ago you texted me during the playoffs and said what you hoped for finally happened?
Yeah.
And it was when, what was it? Remind everyone what it was.
I believe it was your buddy Meta World Peace elbowing James Harden in the head. Was it that?
the next moment, the next chapter of Meta World Peace. How many games did he get for that?
Oh, 15 or something? He got heaps.
So, I mean, I don't say Smith should have got 15, but that was an intentional elbow, no doubt. So,
yeah,
I mean,
without a doubt.
Just a little bit of consistency there. Interesting. Yeah, well, at least, probably the rest of that series.
Yeah.
You would
argue. It's because J.R. Smith didn't punch a person in the crowd.
No, this wasn't the malice.
Yeah, I know, but if he had done that as well.
Oh, his track record, sure.
Once you steal something, you commit another crime.
Well, he's kind of on parole, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, that's douche of the playoffs so far. Now I just want to briefly just talk about the conference finals. So we got Atlanta Cavs and Golden State versus the Rockets. Just a quick predictions. We're into just the first game. Bagman, what's your predictions?
Just FYI as well, I thought game one of the Western Conference Finals was a fucking delight. I had a great time with it. It was high end.
Wasn't it good?
Yeah,
it
high octane offense. Harden was ripping. It's fantastic. But still, I think, especially with Dwighty out, that is maybe the best that they can play. And I don't know. I feel like the Warriors is going to romp home to the title we have since the start of the playoffs. And I don't really see Houston winning more than one game in this series, even though they put up a hell of a fight last night.
Yeah, anytime, if you're Houston, you got to be bummed when you start so well. And then, I think Golden State were down like 15 or 13 at one point in the
16.
Second. And you just knew it was like not a big deal. And then they just turned it on. And, when they go small, they're just like Draymond in the middle and their energy and their transition. I just don't think Houston can really match that. And then their bench is so deep. What about Livingston blowing up, And Brewer, Terrence Jones, Capella and Prigioni, that's it for Houston. So,
Rabbit, has Draymond Green always been a cockhead, or is it something he's developed over the last year?
I think it's a progression for sure.
Yeah.
I think he's probably might have been speaking to Garnett a little bit,
because he is
the biggest
really,
fuckhead in the league.
He's really
He's like the new Rodman in a sense, You're like, I fucking hate that dude. But on Golden State, he's so valuable.
Important.
He's almost, they almost don't win without him,
It's
pretty black and white, especially when they play small. He's just
David Lee's getting no love. It's hilarious.
David Lee.
You guys know that David Lee's the highest paid player on the Warriors this season?
That's awesome. Well, no wonder he's happy sitting on the bench.
He's getting 15 mil. Bogut's getting 12. Iggy's getting 12. Steph gets 10. Livingston gets 5. Spates is ahead of Thompson. But that's just rookie money still. Next year it changes big time.
That's crazy. How about your boy Azili last night? That's huge that they can plug him in for 10-15 minutes and he can hang with
him. Festus coming of age. I love it. And like no one's missing Spates. Like I was like, do you even remember Spates for the Warriors?
I miss
you miss him?
Maul.
Only when you're watching David Lee get mauled on the other end. It's just such a fall from grace. It's gnarly.
Yeah. I think they've got too much firepower and I think over this series, you're going to need more production. Houston won't have it.
Can I ask you, Rabbit, who did you think was going to win between the Mavericks and the Rockets?
I think I had the Rockets in 7.
And what did you have, Bag?
Yeah, I had the Rockets in 6 or 7, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, cool. And what about the Clippers versus the Rockets?
Oh, I didn't give the Rockets a chance in hell. Not a chance.
Well,
I stand by.
3-1.
Dude, honestly, they shouldn't have won. They shouldn't have won.
No, I said that. They shouldn't have won. Yeah.
But, I mean, I kind of had the Mavericks beating the Rockets as well. I've had them losing every single one. We had a bracket going, and I think I'm doing literally the worst out of everyone, so maybe I don't even deserve to be talking about podcasts. But
I think Luke Death had the Raptors winning the title, so you're always going to come back to the middle there.
Yeah. Well, I think... I guess I was trying to say is that it seems to be the Rockets are that one team that none of us think they're going to win, but you can never count them out at this stage. You know, like
hard count them out this series. But I said the Houston. If I had to pick a dark horse, I'd pick Houston.
Yeah, I could tell. As soon as I tried to ask you how Draymond Green is, you were like, "No, he's great. I love him."
What did I say? I said he'd be a tool. He's a tool. He went to get douchebag advice from Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
But on your team, you froth on him. You love him.
All right.
He'd be like
Cade. Yeah, totally. All right. And just quickly, the Atlanta Hawks versus the Cavs. Does anyone think Atlanta's going to win it?
Atlanta have shown me fucking nothing so far in the playoffs.
I agree.
But in saying that, I don't think Korver's going to shoot that bad in a series again. Someone's going to have to chase him around out of that starting lineup. And I know LeBron doesn't want to do it, and Kyrie definitely doesn't want to do it. So, you know, Shumpert and Smith are going to have their work cut out for him. It's going to be intense, but I think the Cavs will do it pretty easy.
I agree.
Yeah, go Rabbit, yeah.
Well,
I agree as well.
They got to get... You know, they've kind of figured out a way to use like a weird offense now with Cleveland. Like LeBron's doing a lot of post up and he's got a lot of jumpers going on. Carroll's going to have to, you know, play pretty good. And then they've got Thompson being a maniac on the boards and Mozgov is scoring and finishing. So they've actually found a really good little nucleus at the moment. And Atlanta didn't show me much against Washington. That said, Jeff Teague can really like try and abuse Kyrie Irving. I mean, I don't think he's got, and Dellavedova, I don't think those two can guard him. So if he can penetrate and cause trouble, and Millsap can do his thing, maybe there's some games there. Maybe in six, Cavs in six, but I think Atlanta can win a couple of games.
I think the Cavs are going to go small and play, you know, that lineup with Tristan Thompson as the big man and can handle Horford. And then LeBron isn't like, you can't hide on Millsap, but at least you're not running around a million picks. Like Carroll worked Paul Pierce into the ground last series. And, you know, Korver will do the same. So I think when they go small and they have LeBron guarding Millsap, that's going to be best for the Cavs and they're just going to shoot their way to it.
Yeah, sweet. I want the Cavs to win. I think the Cavs will win.
I don't think we should sleep on Atlanta, though. I'm sorry.
You know, coach of the year, you know, first in the division, yippity-doo-dah. But after watching LeBron, I don't know why I'm so high on him all of a sudden. I didn't give a shit all season.
Because
but...
he fucking dominates. He's the best cunt alive.
Best dude in the league.
God damn it.
He's the best player since Jordan.
Nice to be reminded. It's nice.
I just wanted to say really quickly, before we wrap it up, did everyone hear the news? Of course everyone heard the news. About Simmons, no more ESPN. Do you want to give us a breakdown of that, Bag?
Well, I think Rabbit's more across this than I am. This is, he loves conspiracy theories and fucking money and the media and corporations.
Give me what I need. As soon as it's like a little controversial, you think it's a conspiracy theory. I don't like that word, by the way, either.
I've never heard anyone talk about conspiracies more than you, cunt. Come on.
Just critical thinking, Josh. Anyway.
What about Michael Moore?
Fuck you. That's an insult. How dare you? Simmons got, they're not renewing his contract. Simmons is the sports guy. He does a BS report. He did Grantland.
He's a man.
On 30 for 30. Docos, wrote the book of basketball. The guy is an incredible journalist. And he pretty much, this is what I think anyway, he pretty much got shafted because ESPN decided not to renew his contract. So he's done. His contract is out in September, but he's done. There's going to be no more podcasts, no more Grantland articles, nothing. And it all stems from the Ray Rice drama with the NFL back in, I'm not sure, but Simmons went on a podcast and basically called out Roger Goodell, of the commissioner of the NFL, and said that he was aware of the Ray Rice video and that he, you know, basically was just shielding his players and not taking a stand and, you know, called him out massively, called him a liar, told anyone to come after him on ESPN, like, come at me, you know, because I'm not standing for this. And it's kind of what endears a lot of people to Simmons is he's a fan first. And when he calls shit out, he was
he's only super honest. He's a slave to only one company, and that's Subway, right?
Yeah.
It's stamps.com.
Squarespace. Yeah, he likes Squarespace as well. But anyway, that's the ESPN guy, I forget his name, who was talking in the contract, gave some bullshit that they weren't going in the same direction. But as soon as that went down, I think they decided the NFL is more important to us than Simmons. No, even though he is super valuable with everything he brings, you can't beat NFL money. And ESPN probably would just like, or even maybe who knows? But he's gone.
Bag, do you think Simmons has a strong connection with the youth? You know,
I think he's got he's got a super wide demographic for sure. He appeals to all ages. He's been doing like
all ages.
People. So some people don't, especially young people. Some people don't understand as well that he's like the Jimi Hendrix of sport podcasting. You know, he's like a 100% massive influencer. And a lot of people are talking shit about how he's such a blatant homer and he's had all this coming for him and he doesn't know what he's talking about. People need to fucking get their head checked. The dude's like a self-professed homer. He knows exactly what he is. He knows so much about ball. He's dedicated his life to all the sports and he's like very entertaining. He's really good. Grantland is an excellent site for sports and pop culture. And you got to give the dude props where it's due. And obviously he's a bit outspoken and that's going to rub some people up the wrong way. And a lot of the times, like we've had the discussions between the three of us, we're like, oh, Simmons again with his bullshit. But you know, you weigh that up against all the quality stuff that he's done over like a 15-year period. It's super sad. I fucking hate it. I hate
it's
to think
sad.
That there might be, you know, a universe where because of this situation that we don't get to hear him on a podcast or writing a sports article, especially right
back.
Now in the thick of the finals. But it's like a competition thing, anti-competition thing. So, like, you never know how long it'll be until he's back in the game, and it's totally
and
fucked.
You said before he, you know, people hated him for being a homer or whatever, but that is him because he's always been a fan first and he's always had the agenda of a fan over a journalist trying to get a job or over, you know, sponsorship money or different team influence, whatever. He was always a fan and he was a biased fan and everyone knew he was a Boston guy, but that was what made him endearing because he was loyal as fuck and he took his own side. There was never anything, you know, and no malice in it. It's just like, hey, I'm a fan first and I'm calling it like a fan. And that's why people like him so much.
And he sticks by his mistakes as well. That was like my earliest memory of, you know, relating to anything that he wrote was when he was saying that he would have taken Emeka Okafor over Dwight Howard. And I felt the same way. That was like the only year I've ever watched college basketball. And I was like, people are fucking tripping. They want to take this skinny 19-year-old with braces over this dude who's averaging 5 bucks a game in the conference. So, you know, and then he totally owned it. And he still owns it up until this day. And that was over a decade ago. So you can't, I don't think you can hate on the dude. I reckon he's
no way.
Amazing.
It's a real shame.
Gentlemen, that's about it. If you're listening to this on iTunes, please press subscribe. Just to wrap it up, I believe the Timberwolves got the draft, which will start just after the playoffs are over. They got number one, and Kobe said today, we played like shit all year, so it's only right we get the number two spot, right?
Yeah, it's pretty typical Lakers, isn't it? They always come up with something.
Well, and the interesting thing,
man, you watch the Lakers. They get the two picks. They'll do something crazy. Like get Kevin Love or do something stupid like get Rondo and then all of a sudden everyone's talking about him again.
Nobody wants Rondo right now. But there's two very interesting centers that are possibly going to go 1 and 2, and the number one draft pick apparently can hold 13 tennis balls in his hand. So I'll take that.
Yeah.
That's useful, I guess.
Lock up your daughters.
Yeah. And of course, a podcast with me wouldn't be complete unless I just dropped the Phoenix Suns really quickly. 13th pick, Steve Nash's number. Come on, number 13.
Oh, my God.
All right. You guys have a lovely night, and we'll be doing this next week.
So good to speak to you again, Wesley. Your voice
fantastic
on the podcast.
To be back.
Love you, Wes.
I'm just glad I'm healthy enough to be here.
Right.
Take care. Ba-da-ba.